Excellent. Good evening, everyone. I'm Reverend Dr. Katrina Foster. I am the pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. And December 4th was my 29th anniversary of ordination, and I have been of service in the metropolitan New York area for the entirety of that time. Thank you. And one of your elders, Alina, and I are friends, and I had invited Alina to be part of an educational program at our congregation called Financial Peace University. Ask her about it. She'd be happy to tell you all about it. It is a life-transforming ministry that we did and that we will continue to do. But Alina has been coming over. She's not abandoning anyone. But she has been journeying over to St. John's in Greenpoint and has been a part of that 9-week ministry we had and has worshiped with us and done some other things. And she said to me, you should come and be in my community. And I was able to come today, and I'm so glad to be here with you in person and with everyone online to share the good news of Jesus with one another and encourage one another. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the few stories that's in all four Gospels, not only the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it is also in John, which is the kind of far out there, completely radical gospel. And if you ever have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, it's just red everywhere. Jesus is pedantic and he never shuts up in John's gospel. Mark's gospel is an intense gospel. It's the shortest. It's the first one written. There's no birth narrative. It simply begins with John showing up out of the middle of nowhere, baptizing people, calling them to repentance. It ends with the crucifixion, barely a resurrection account, and then an add-on later on. But it is really an intense, movement-oriented gospel. Things are happening quickly, quickly, quickly. And the feeding of the 5,000 shows up in all four Gospels and twice in the Gospel of Mark. There's two fantastic feeding miraculous stories in Mark's Gospel, the shortest one. And if you think about it, it makes sense. People who learn to pray from Jesus, give us this day our daily bread, were quite literally praying, may we have something to eat today. Because as our siblings in Gaza are experiencing right now, there's no guarantee of food. There's no safe place to run to sometimes. These folks that Jesus was speaking with and ministering among and living among, they were living in times of militaristic might, uncertainty, violence. In the birth narratives, we know that there was a egomaniacal politician that went to the great lengths of killing all the children in and around Bethlehem, age 2 and under, because he was terrified of a rival king. Jesus was a threat. And people who could follow this man and get their daily bread, well, that was a threat too. Because if the great masses have enough, then they can also do things like organize around issues, or organize around power, organize around an idea. The kingdom of God is like this. And so in this gospel, Jesus had just tried to get away. His cousin, his dear friend, John, had been beheaded by Herod for telling the truth, that he should not take his brother's wife for himself. And it so enraged her that she schemed for a way to get John back. And she found a way, and she had him beheaded. And Jesus knew that his cousin had been assassinated. So he tried to withdraw to a place by himself, to mourn, to grieve, and to pray. But the people followed. They found him where he was, and they were in need, and their need was great and overwhelming. And even in his reduced state of grief and loss and feeling untethered, his world had changed radically with John's death. Jesus returned to being of service. He returned again to teaching, to healing, to having compassion on the people. Service is what once again tethered him to his call, to the community, to the world, to his companions, and to his relationship with his Father. Being of service. And the disciples, they're not dumb. They recognize there's a lot of people here. And they're looking out at the masses and they recognize it's been a hot, long day. They haven't had anything to eat. And it can get ugly when people are hungry. You ever heard of hangry? Hungry, angry? I get that. I fast 3 times a week and I am well familiar with the feeling of hangry. They were getting hangry. And the disciples said, something has to shift, something has to change. And they have a great idea. Jesus, tell the folks to go and get something to eat, right? It's a nice night. You can walk through Manhattan, go get something to eat. It'll be fine. And Jesus looks at them and says, no, you give them something to eat. This is your job. And they're like, what? We don't have anything. And Jesus said to them, go and figure out what you have. Well, the disciples had their dinner with them. It was enough for them. 5 loaves, 2 fish. The disciples and Jesus get a little something to eat and they'll all have enough and be satisfied. They were hungry too. They didn't want to share. They did not want to share their food. It's so little anyway. How can it possibly be sufficient enough for everyone? And Jesus said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And Jesus, as sort of a foreshadowing of what we call Holy Communion, takes the not enough and he blesses it. And then he calls his disciples into service also. And he says to those disciples, take this, and you serve it to everyone. Now, can you imagine the disciples? They know how much they gave Jesus. They know it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Even if it was a big old tuna, it's still not going to be enough for 5,000 men. And womanist and feminist theologians have figured out, based on the demographics of the day, that probably the number of men who were traveling with their families and the number of kids that would have been in a family at that time, the number of humans actually would have been more like 20,000 people all together. So it's not just 5,000 men, it's about 20,000. And if you've ever been around hungry children, that wine gets into your fillings and just rattles them. It's such an unrelenting sound sometimes. So the disciples know exactly what they gave Jesus. And can you imagine what is going through their minds? There's not enough. Why is he doing this to us? We're going to wade out into the middle of the people and there's not going to be enough. And who are they going to blame? Us. Us. If you've ever worked in a restaurant and somebody at the table is angry about their food, they might ask for a manager. But the first person they get mad at is the server. I've had so many people when I was on wait staff get mad at me when it was some poor guy in the back doing the best he knew to do. But he never got yelled at. I got yelled at. And my tip got reduced. They're going out into the midst of hungry people with not enough for everybody. They've been told, sit down, there's something coming. I would have been afraid. Had I been one of the disciples that day, I would have been very afraid. But something happens. Something actually happened because this story is all over the scriptures. In some way, somehow, Everybody had more than enough for the day. Everybody had enough to be filled, which may have been a completely unique experience for them. There was so much food that there were leftovers. There was more than enough. We're in a season right now in Advent, going into the Christmas season, where we are told again and again, you don't have enough. You want to know how to have enough? Pull out your Visa. Pull out your MasterCard. Get your American Express. Get that Discover card. You'll earn 1.5% back on all of your purchases, and it will only cost you 30% interest on unpaid balances. But hey, don't think about that. Think about now. Your immediate desire right now can be met if you will just take that plastic out and put your life on layaway forever. You get told and convinced that this is your salvation, that this is what is going to feed that need that is within you. The God-sized hole can be fed and filled by something purchased with plastic. And it works. The four major credit card companies every year spend $4 billion a year advertising to you to convince you that they have what you need, and all your dreams will come true. Jesus offers a much less sexy answer. First, he offers himself. He is the gift. And then he offers very simple things like bread and fish. And then he offers you a community in which you can be of service. It's not big and flashy and sexy. It's not the Rockefeller Christmas tree. It's not the Rockettes. And it's not Radio City Music Hall presenting the story of the birth of Jesus. The first time I saw that, I was terrified. I did not know what was coming. It's not that. It's not big, flashy, sexy, and blinky. It's exceedingly simple, disarmingly simple, that the things that fill us, that give us meaning and hope and life and satisfaction, are the simplest things. Eating a meal together, simple food with people. Sharing and taking what I might think of as my insufficiency and putting it at the service of Jesus and saying to Jesus, this is what I have. And Jesus takes the not enough and turns it into abundance. It's disarmingly simple. But if you think about communities of faith, it's the disarmingly simple things that we do that make us who we are. Praying for others, welcoming the stranger, sharing what we have, selflessly sharing and giving away what we ourselves have received. My wife pointed out to me that these beautiful pieces of art above our heads are bags. And some of them say on there, enjoy your meal. How wonderful that the children of the school here have created these beautiful works of art into which food will be placed and given to someone who is hungry. If children can figure out the beauty of sharing with somebody else, the adults need to learn from them. My friends, in this wonderful fellowship here, in a place that is very old, upon whom shoulders we stand as people of faith, you have enough. You have all you need in this community to do all that God has called you to do. You have one another and all the resources that God trusts you with to manage and to share. I'm so glad to be with you tonight in this place. I'm so glad to hear again and again this wonderful story in this time of Advent, the time of preparation for the gift of Jesus. I'm so glad always to be surprised by how God continues to sustain bless, and send us out into the world with what we might believe to be not enough. But it is abundance whenever we place it in service to Jesus. It is always enough because Jesus loves you, and I do too. Amen.